Lord, we pray for our country tonight. Yes, Lord. We thank you we have power in your name. We can ask and keep on asking. And we ask, Lord, for there to be a new, a wave of your work, a wave, a new work, a deep work everywhere in the country. Lord, revival. Yes, Jesus. We are in a secular world. They often proudly contradict you, deny you, and embrace the ideas from the hearts of men. And we ask, Father, that your Spirit would keep us in these days and raise up a standard. We pray, men of God, women of God, Spirit-filled, wise, faithful, discerning, convicted, wise, persuaded in a swamp, Lord, where we lose our footing, deny you, deny truth because it's not convenient or we can't have it our way. But we choose your way, Lord. We choose your way. We ask for the people like James Dobson, David Jeremiah, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham. We are on their side. In other words, in the spirit, in the mind of Christ, we are with the persuasion of truth and love, Lord. Do something, Father, mighty. Hear your people. We are praying and asking, and you are faithful to us. Yes, Lord, thank you. Bless our time here tonight. Redeem the time, use the time, fill the time, anoint our time, and speak to our hearts in your name, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. Thank you, Lord. Turn to Luke chapter 5, please. I had a morning devotional from something I read about Albert Einstein, and it stuck with me through the day. And I, in my reading about this 1942 meeting in his home, he had three clergy, one rabbi, one Catholic priest, and one liberal Protestant theologian. And he asked them some questions. You can read about it in one of Chuck Colson's books. It's entitled, How Shall We Then Live? And in that, is it my mic sound? It sounds funny to me, but it's okay. Sorry, all right. In the message, I was refreshed in reading this regarding God and his nature. And I want to just share that principle, turn to a story in Luke 5, pray that the Lord will say something to us to edify us specifically, and then we will close. Cafe cards. Okay. Pause. Carol Ann Turmel. There we go, Carol Ann. Pastor Fred Arruda returned from Argentina today. Tonight, he just came in. There we go. Did you have a good time? You did? Just say one word. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It was an awesome time to be in South America with the four churches down there. And I can honestly say that it's a harvest field that is ripe, incredibly ripe. We had people pray with us on the street to accept Jesus as our Savior. One thing that was pretty cool, we were on the bus, and we had an elderly lady, very well-dressed, really nice hair, but very frail. And she didn't speak any English. And we stood next to her for a while and then decided to give her a bracelet with the Christian Farmers track. And she sat there, looked at the bracelet, started to read the track slowly. And the more she read it, tears started coming down her eyes. Then she placed the bracelet on her wrist, and she prayed the prayer all on her own. So if you get a chance to come down, to go down and visit Pastor Stan, he'd really appreciate it.
Thank you. That's amazing. David Andrews from South Berwick, Maine. Yeah. He doesn't really know what it, he doesn't. He's like, well, okay. This is a gift to you and your wife. It has $5 value. So don't get too excited. But thanks for being here. Yeah, they're with Pastor Brown and the South Berwick Ministry. Greetings to them. We love you guys. How about Pastor Bert Vals? Bert from Holland. And Mary Sartorius. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, Mary, isn't she a treasure? We love you. Thank you. Thank you. She's amazing. Okay, here is the principle. God up on the screen. Is that up there? Okay, God always has been, always will be. He is from everlasting to everlasting. No beginning, no end. Omnipotent, all-powerful. Knows everything, everywhere present. He is three, so there's three in one, because he is love. Is there any death in God? No death in God. Any sin in God? No. Ever a sinful thought in God's mind? Never. Is there any pain or suffering in God that is in his nature? No. There is no pain, no death, no sorrow in God in his nature, meaning he is always has been infinitely joyful, infinitely righteous, infinitely wise, infinitely loving. He is love, and he is this God that transcends the space and time that we are living in. He is in it, but evil did not come from God. And this was a dilemma that Einstein had as a scientist. When he looked at the world, he saw the world was suffering and pain and death. And he believed that God had made the world, and in making the world, he included this in it. And he believed that if God had made the world and there is evil in the world, then really, if he judged us for the evil, he would in effect be judging himself. Because the origin of it is really him. We can't go into it because that's this message. I want to just make a simple point about this. And that is, when time started, we can draw it this way, at one point, the physical universe was created, and time as we know it started, and we living here, Adam and Eve, in time and space. When they were they made to die? Okay, that reminds me of a Finnish joke. There was a minister, governmental minister, who couldn't speak English very well, and he came to the United States, and he was in New York City, and a criminal confronted him to rob him, and he said to the Finnish prime minister, or I don't know what his title was, he said, "You came here to die." And he said, "No, no, no, I didn't come to die, I came yesterday." Okay, okay, let's move on. Listen. Who was he, Serpa? Do you know? Oh, you don't know. Okay. All right. So, here is Adam and Eve. Was there any death in them? No. Did God make them to die? Did he make them to sin? Did he have any intention that this world as we know it would be filled with this pain and suffering as we see it? Was that, did he know about it? Yes. But did he plan that? No, he didn't. He didn't plan it. This may be very fundamental for many of you, but in a way it's kind of shocking to me, and it stirs me up. Because suffering and pain and death is one very strong reason why people are angry with God. But they do not understand where the evil came from. It did not come from God. Now, I know how you are processing my sentences, because we have the same way of thinking and the same mind. But if you could take your time and think about this, it's really awesome. God is light and no darkness. God is truth and no lie, life and no death, righteous and no sin. And he did not make this world so that this world right now, as we are living in it with a sin nature, has not been his design. We have been hijacked. And you say, well, of course, God has allowed it, permitted it. Yes. Yes, he has. But what is his heart and mind behind our existence? It is not to suffer. It is to be free of pain. It is to live forever. It is to be glorified. He made us to be glorified. He made us to be perfected. He made us to be like him. Sometimes I hear Christians say, God uses suffering for the perfection of the saints. And I realize what they are saying, and I have said that also myself, and it is so in a way. But could you, like, go back to a deeper principle? He could make us mature without suffering. He could make us wise without sin. That actually is what will be happening in eternity. where it says there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. All the tears are washed away. And what do you think? We'll be growing. We'll be increasing. We'll be knowing Him better and better without suffering, without sin. It'd be like saying to a teenager, go out and sin. You'll learn something by it. That's the same idea translated into bigger proportions. No, this world is not the way He intended it, and we would do very well without sin and death and disease and suffering. We would. We'd do very well without it. Come on. Hey, when Jesus came, did He have to sin in order to identify with us? Why couldn't He sin? Well, He could, but He didn't. Why? He doesn't need it. He doesn't need sin. He doesn't need it. It adds nothing. There is no value to that except to the fact that it contradicts God. I mean, and that has no value. It contradicts God. Sin is a contrary to the very nature of God, which you and I are getting to know. And as we get to know Him and understand His nature, we are drawn more to that nature. Love increases in love. Love, when there's a synergy, there's an increase when you are in love, the love grows. Is God's nature. We don't need sin. We don't need death. We don't need our frailty and so on. And I understand all the teaching that we do, many years of it, and I understand it all and how my weakness is good for me and my suffering works a degree of glory. And I understand all of that, but I don't want you to miss this. This is very important. Go to the big arrow. In heaven, when God made the angels, He wanted love because He is love. Life doesn't mean much without love. And when He made angels with love in mind, He had to automatically give them something that the planet Earth doesn't have. Let's just say, when He made planet Earth, I'll put down here the word machine. Does the Earth go around the sun every year by physical laws? Does the Earth have a choice? I'm not going this year. I'm not going anymore. Protest. Okay. When He made angels, He didn't make them machines. What did He do? He basically said, if there's love, there has to be freedom. A machine doesn't have freedom. But when I look for love, there has to be this freedom. Right? So, what's the problem with freedom? There isn't any, except for the fact that if I look at God and I say, I am free, right? God says, yes, you are free. Do you love me? No. I turn away. I am not interested. I go another way. That's the birth of the evil. Where did it come from? Not God. It came from outside of God. The evil wasn't God. If it was God, we would never be in this situation. If it was God, we would not have cemeteries and hospitals and policemen. If it was God, that would not be there. Because God isn't like that. This is a problem for people. Because they say, life is hard, life is crazy, or life I don't like, why is it this way and why is it that way? And we have to say with a very clear understanding here, you're right. I don't like it either. You're right. It contradicts what I know about God. What I understand about God is actually amazing. And he used this catastrophe because the freedom that this angel, let's just draw him like this, put a couple wings on him. And Chesterton said he fell by his own weight. It's like an interesting idea. He fell like lightning, Jesus said, from heaven, cast out, judged. But I also like this idea that his own iniquity, when he said, I'm done, I got something else, and I'm changed, then his own weight put him in a state that he's never able to escape from. He became evil. And when he came here like a snake in the garden, beautiful creature. Actually, we don't know that if he what he was looking like at the time when he came in. He was beautiful, but he went down on his belly as a judgment. He went down further. And evil is like that. Evil goes. And what I want to say is that this is incredible that God, seeing the evil come to the human race, could have judged us in a similar fashion. And we all would have collapsed under the weight of what it is to be evil. And there would be no way out except for God took the opportunity to manifest to us his nature and express to us love that is astounding. But I believe that if it had never, the fall had never happened, the love would still be manifested, of course. How would God do it? I know that he's capable. Without the death, without the sin, what I am suggesting or what I am teaching tonight is very simple. My concept of God is this one. That God doesn't want anyone to go to hell, but they will. God never wanted evil in the universe. It contradicts him, but it is. And it will one day be gone forever. There'll be no more trace of it. Only the Bible will show us what it is. And that record in heaven of the reality of what this is. All reality in God is forever and ever. So there'll be no question about the reality that we will have in heaven regarding this life, this experience. But to say that the evil and the death is coming from God is a total misrepresentation of God. It is not from God. It is the work of evil. God did not make us to die. He made us to live. He did not make us to suffer. He made us to be perfect like him. He did not make us to cry buckets of tears in a lifetime. He did not. So then this is a good question then. Has he felt the pain of the human race? Yes. I believe he feels the pain of every child abused, every alcoholic, homeless, pain of everybody betrayed. I believe he feels the pain of every cancer victim suffering, every persecuted person. I just believe that he is that kind of a God that is in this world, and he feels and he knows the pain and the work of evil, and he is greater than it. He is a God of compassion and identification. And he came into this world, into Israel, in the Gospels. And there we see him in a rugged world of trouble. And everywhere he's going, as he shows himself in that capacity, a number of times, Matthew 4, he healed everybody that came to him. When he walked on the water, he was basically saying, come on, guys, I mean, this is for real. I am God. I am bigger than this world. When he casts out demons with his finger, he was showing us something. And when he said, "Fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," he is basically saying, my heavenly Father is so much in favor with you guys, it is unbelievable. My heavenly Father has given you something that it is shocking if you were to comprehend it and get a hold of it even for a second. I see it in my Father. And by the way, when Jesus was here, he was knowing the Father so deeply, so intuitively, so clearly, that whenever he was tempted, there was no contest. I will always do my Father's will. Because he knew the Father. And I want to say this way. When he wept at Lazarus' tomb, we don't know why he wept. But he could be like, this is not God's plan for the human race. Death, broken hearts. This pain, it is not my Father's will. His perfect will, my Father's will. But I know I am from heaven. I see it. I know my Father's will for the human race. And I am here in the world. Hopefully, they will get a hold of and comprehend who I am, who my Father is, and know this love. This is the love. This is amazing love. A perfect love. An amazing love. And when it comes into our life, yeah, we know life this way. It's the only way we know it. We know life this way, but when it comes into our life, we are free. Because the love is great. The nature of God is peace and the wisdom of God. Now for the Luke 5 story, very simply, it goes like this in verse 3. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. First thing, sit down and hear the word. The word goes over the water. The ship is out. It's true. You go out in the water, over with people are pushing and pressing. He gets in a boat. He goes out. And the air over the water, he's able to talk. And many thousands of people are able to hear him on the shore. It's like an amphitheater effect. And so that's what he did. He was teaching them out of the ship. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That's point number one. He said something. He spoke. That's all. Hear something from God. God speaks to you during the day. He does. God speaks to you in your prayer. He does. God talks to you in a message. He does. God talks to you when you read the Bible. He does. Don't worry about it. God is for you, like we're saying. You have sin. Just confess it. It's over. Gone. That's how God deals with the world, with sin and evil. Be very open with God, your heavenly Father. He will take care of you, give you grace, guide you, lead you, and he will talk to you. Verse 5. And Simon answering said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. So, repetition. Repetition of behaviors, repetition of activity, repetition of things that we do. Repetition. We've already done that, Lord. We've done it. We've done it. To be honest, I'm tired. We've done it all night. I'm kind of bored with it. I've done it. I've been to church many times. I've read my Bible many times. I've been around many times and so on. And we have caught nothing. This is a part of life for us that we need to get a hold of. When Jesus says something to you and Jesus is in it, then you can act on it. And act on it even though he knows you have done it before. but you act on it. And there's something that God, if God is in it, if God is in it, you will see that. And if God is in it, you will recognize it. This is verse 6. When they had this, verse 5. We have toiled all the night, taken nothing, nevertheless at thy word I will let down the net. There it is. Just that's the deal breaker there. At your word I will let down the net. Maybe there's something in your life you need a fresh word. You need something from God to speak to you. I think our country needs a fresh word. I think men of God in the United States, and I'm so, in a way, very proud of them that are saying the truth and standing for righteousness. This is not about political parties. This is about righteousness. This isn't about politics. This is about righteousness, walking with God. It's about doing God's will. It's about God speaking to us and letting down the net. It's about something new happening with somebody here in this world. That are you tired of your sin yet? I've been reading about the sexual revolution in our country and the ideas and the mysticism connected with sexual promiscuity. And I've been reading about that and realizing, wow, I didn't have a clue about how people, young people, think of sex today. It's amazing how the way things have moved in our culture, because I am a relatively old guy, I guess, and I haven't understood it that way. It is incredible. Are you tired of it yet? Have you gone through enough guys yet? Have you gone through enough women yet? Are you tired of the evil yet? Are you lying down in sorrow yet? Are you bored with it yet? Are you looking for a real relationship with substance in it yet? Have you found what you're really looking for yet? And the answer is to be answered deeply and personally. And we are saying, if Jesus speaks to you and he says, let down your net, don't make up an excuse and say something just to get out of it, but hunker down in there. Say, okay, I will do it. Look at verse 6. When they had this done, he said, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Launch out into the deep, verse 4. Right? When he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. Launch out into the deep. Maybe that message is needed here in this country of ours, which I love very much. That's what's needed. Launch out into the deep. Oh, I don't want to go deep. Not deep. Launch out into the deep. You've not been there for a while. Go out in the deep. Launch out into the deep. And you'll catch a great catch. Launch out into the deep in a prayer life. Stay on your knees for a while till God speaks to you. Stay down, stay on your knees, stay there in quiet until God talks to you. If you seek him, you will find him. Wait upon him. God will let you know. God will talk to you. And then you launch out. I haven't caught anything, and that's faith. I go out by faith. By faith we go out. And then at your word we obey. I got my eyes on some people, and I'm watching how God is working in their life. And I know that God is faithful to all, every one of us, and that he is our Father and intends good things for us, like I said. That's his plan. But he's also a God that doesn't fool around. He might let you do your thing for 5 years or 10 years, and then he'll just say, hey, whenever you're ready to launch out into the deep, I'll give you the word. launch out into the deep. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Might be something will happen to me if I go out in the deep. Well, you don't get too far without faith. The way to life is faith. The way to God is faith, right? Hebrews 11:6. So, point number one, how can I know God in that love? It's this way in this story. Watch out into the deep. After he's been teaching, you have faith. And he says, watch out. Okay, only because you said so, but I wouldn't do it. But you said so. Let's go. And the Lord says, see? See what I did? See what I'll do for you? You're a lot happier, aren't you? You have more peace, don't you? You found the way, didn't you? You're getting to know me. Isn't it better than staying in the shallows and just fooling around? But watch out into the deep, and at your word, Lord, I'll do what you say according to your word. I'll go by faith. By faith, launch out into the deep, and we'll see the hand of God. And the Lord will be just rejoicing with us, like saying, yeah, he got it. He sees it. He sees it. He sees it. Wow. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you are a God of love. To be honest, sometimes we wonder. God, you're a God of truth. To be honest, Lord, we don't put our throw ourselves into the game. We don't throw ourselves into your counsel. We reserve ourselves. We reserve our life. We stay in the shallows. And we have reason. We've done it before. We've fished all night. We have a lot of experiences. And Christ says, come on, lift up your eyes. Look at my heavenly Father and know the love that we have for you. God intends good for us. God is for us. God has answers to our prayers. He has divine counsel that will shock us and lead us. He has a way. It's not our way. It's another way. It's God's way. Please, Lord, speak to everyone in this room in these coming days. And while saying, nevertheless, according to your word, I will let down my net. I will do what you say. I want to be led by you in the Spirit. Give me good counsel. And speak to my heart and guide me in the deeper life of knowing you, in Jesus' name. And then anyone here who doesn't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you must be born again. You must accept him. You must believe in him and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I have questions, but you have answers. That's all I need to know. I have doubts, but you have a living faith. That's all I need to know. I have sinned, but you have forgiveness. That's all I need to know. I come to you by faith tonight. In Jesus' name, would you raise your hand here in the auditorium? It's an opportunity to be born again. Anyone here? Raise your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all? Anyone? In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.